Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hasey, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We've got our buddy Leo Routins later in the hour. Raptors, Pacers tonight down at Scotiabank Arena, and we'll see what kind of reaction the Raps have to a couple of losses in a row. And Chicago, they made it close. You know, they were down big in the second half, and they battled back. They had a quality fourth quarter, could not end it off and couldn't push it to overtime and win the game. But they're a young team. They're inexperienced. They're trying to ask a lot out of young guys like Scottie Barnes and Delano Banton. And we'll see if Malachi Flynn actually gets any playing time. I mean, he's just not in the wheelhouse of Nick Nurse right now. Like, Nick Nurse is refusing to play him. And I think that's partially because he's got Van Vliet, because you've got Dragic, you got a couple of vets playing that position. It's natural. You're third line, you got to wait your turn. But Leo will join us on that. And other stories throughout the NBA a little bit later in the hour. Rick Westhead coming up here in about 10 minutes as well on the Chicago Blackhawks news of yesterday and how it carries over to today. And the Leafs are in Chicago tonight. And I would think the anthem singer will be belting out both anthems tonight. And I don't know if it'll be a packed building or not. The Blackhawks are off to a horrible start. But Taves and Kane, doesn't look like they're going to be a part of the program based on COVID protocol, and Marc-Andre Fleury not getting the start, or it doesn't look like he'll get the start. This right. Blackhawk team is not very good. They have not had a good start. This should be a green light special for the Leafs tonight. Should
don't
be.
Even. Don't
should
even.
Should be.
Taze and Kane. No Taze and Kane. Okay, what happened in Pittsburgh? There was no Crosby. There was no Malkin. There was no Letang. I don't know if Gensel played. It was,
no,
so don't
wasn't.
Start with that. Don't start with that.
No. I understand that, and their history would indicate that they'll play down to their competition, if not beneath the level of competition. I mean, that's kind of the way they operate. You tell me how bad you are, okay, we'll be a little bit worse. That's the motto of this team generally. But
think of the moves they made, okay? So they go and make a big trade for Seth Jones, like who, you know, we all think he's a – I mean, am I wrong? We all think he's a fantastic player, correct? Mm-hmm. And a stud of defensemen. He's been terrible there.
Terrible.
And, you know, obviously you see him trending every game. He certainly hasn't found his footing. He's not going to be terrible there for 7 years straight. Like, he's a good defenseman that needs to find himself. Like, Tyler Johnson got traded there. You know, the interesting one for me was a guy like Dylan Strome, who was like a healthy scratch. And he's a pretty good, like, big body who, you know, plays wing, plays center ice. Like, it all hasn't fit, and it all hasn't looked good. So we'll see. The Leafs have an opportunity here, and I think they've got to come out and worry about themselves. You know, it's been us on the outside saying, you know what, Pittsburgh, they've got COVID, they've got injuries, like, don't worry about, like, no, it doesn't matter. Pittsburgh's got a lot of pride, they got a great coach, and they came out and we saw what happened against the Leafs. Like, the Leafs have to worry about their game and imposing their will, and then see how it unfolds tonight against Chicago.
Yes, exactly. Like, you can't even consider what the other team is going to do. That doesn't mean you don't game plan, but you control your own destiny. And the Leafs, they've been doing all the talking. They say all the right things. You know, they hit the right notes.
Right.
And at some point, it's got to be performed, you know. And we've discussed it countlessly over the last 3 days. And we'll see what they have in store tonight before they come home against Detroit tomorrow on Saturday night. Another team that they are better than on paper, that they should be able to take advantage of. But you got to get to that point first. And you certainly can't be looking past Chicago tonight. You know, I guess that's really the point here, is if they were rolling, this might be a trap game. No Taves, no Kane.
Right.
No Fleury. You might be like, we'll go in there, just take our 2 points and go home. But they have no right to have that type of mentality.
No, I told you, Hayes, at the beginning of the show, it's like whatever team can kind of get away from the noise and say, just focus on this game and try to get it done. Because both sides have noise going on where it's going to be difficult to focus and get that intensity and get that hate on for the opposition. So whoever does it best is probably going to win the game. Because the first 20 minutes, to take the will away from the opposition tonight should be the ultimate goal, and it shouldn't be that difficult to do. Well, you'd be thinking, back in the day, these two teams would be clawing at each other and saying, this is desperation time. But it seems like nowadays, it's like you get up 2-0 in the first, it's like, check, please, go ahead, have them, we're out of here. We'll get them down the road.
Well, we'll see. There's a lot going on around the league. Obviously, in the Canadian markets, we've been focused on that. The Habs going to Seattle got spanked last night. Like, they got beat pretty thoroughly 5-1 to Seattle. And Vancouver lost again last night. And I sense Elias Pettersson is in the crosshairs of people in Vancouver. You know, it took him a while to get the deal done. That happens. But we've seen it before, right? When guys don't – when you don't start camp on time, it just takes a little bit longer for you to get going. And he just isn't looking great 5-on-5, and Vancouver's not off to the hottest start. And that's a market that they want redemption, because last year was a throwaway season. Right, in large part because of COVID and what happened with that team. But they were awful before COVID hit, and it was just a terrible, forgettable season. They had a packed building last night, or pretty close to it, which is great to see. That was the 32nd team in the league that was still waiting for the green light, and they got it before the game. And that's another – I mean, that's significant. Like, we're talking 32 teams now in the league. Everyone can sell out the building if you can sell out the building. But, yeah, Vancouver is not – I would say there's some anxiety in the western part of the country right now.
Well, it should be. I mean, you're hoping your team just gets into a groove. You can accept losses, but I think you need to look at how your team's fabric is and go, you know what, that guy just had an off night. I feel pretty good about it. But it's more about, you know, they've got some new faces there. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Connor Garland, you know, guys. And they, you know, Jimmy Benning flushed out some of those contracts at the bottom so that they could, you know, kind of upgrade. It just hasn't hit, but it doesn't mean that they won't. And Brock Besser coming back off injury helps too, but
right.
You know, you come up short. Came up short last night, and I watched that game, and they pushed, but they just didn't close it out in the end.
No, but that's kind of what's happening throughout the Canadian markets. Edmonton is on one end of it, and Montreal's on the other, and the Leafs are closer to Montreal. Vancouver's closer to Montreal right now.
I don't know if you saw what happened in Winnipeg, Anaheim last night. That was crazy. They were going to lose. They were
dead in the water. Dead in the water.
They were dead in the water, and they scored 2 in 19 seconds. All of a sudden, win. They've won 3 in a row.
Yeah,
like if you're Anaheim and they score that one, you're like, okay, let's get this to OT, see if something can happen. And they do it again, and they lose in regulation. That was redonk.
Well, and as for another Canadian team out west, Calgary with a win against Jersey, and I'm telling you, PK Subban is playing with fire. Like, he's playing with fire, and he got fined today by the league $5,000 for slew footing, effectively, Milan Lucic. But, you know, we didn't talk a lot about the one against Ryan Reeves early in the preseason. Reeves came out afterwards, and he didn't say it directly, but he basically said and stated he thought it was greasy and it was a slew foot. And Lucic, that's what it was last night. Like, that's a bad trip. Slew foot, trip, whatever it is.
Greasy, man.
Lucic cannot defend himself. And PK's known to do that. You know, there's some tape out there of PK operating that way, using his leg and using a guy who's not doesn't see him coming. And, again, it's one thing to do it. It's another to do it to Ryan Reeves and Milan Lucic.
Well, I was just going to say,
you're asking for trouble if you go down that path.
Like, Lucic, he's lucky that Lucic didn't pick him up and throw him over the glass.
No kidding.
You know, and same thing with Reeves. Like, that one, I know. And PK did the PR tour right after the game on Reeves. It was like, I like to balance myself, and I have a wider stance. And he was laying it all out. I don't know if you saw that press conference. Like, he was talking to the refs. Chris Kreider went out. Yeah, that's fair. You do have a balance, and you go in. It didn't look – the Reeves one did not look egregious to me. It was a bad result.
Yeah,
but
accident.
Accident. But, like, the Lucic one, a little different. And
that's why you get fined, right?
Yeah, exactly. You got to own that, man. Like, you get in that territory where, you know, you're a gray area player, boy, you're not going to get the credit, the benefit of the doubt when it comes back at you.
No, and listen – the Devils and the Rangers are going to play a fair amount. So I was shocked that Reeves didn't have something catastrophic, like some really serious injury where
like
he didn't blow his knee out
ankle.
Or his ACL or his ankle or something. Like, he was ready to go for opening night, you know?
Yeah.
So, listen, we're a couple weeks in, and there are some fires being put out, or hopefully being put out throughout the league. That certainly is going to happen. It'll be happening in the NBA. We're a week and a half away from looking at some team and saying, I can't believe they started this way. But we're back to an 82-game grind. And as for the Canadian teams, they're not exclusively playing in Canada anymore. Like, the interviews are happening all the time. Edmonton's playing Philly, right? And they're like, we haven't seen them in 2 years. We don't have a game plan for them. That's a two-way street. right? Yeah. Philly's probably thinking the same thing. They know what McDavid's all about, Drysdale's right. all about, but you're dealing with really uncharted territory in terms of playing Canadian and American teams. It's been a long time since we've seen it. And the Leafs have not been in Chicago in a couple of years, and they're in Chicago tonight, and the Leafs are obviously concerning themselves with picking up two points. They need it desperately. The Blackhawks team, in terms of the ones that will be dressed tonight, they need the 2 points. They've been awful this year. But there is a much bigger story surrounding that organization and the investigation into allegations of sexual assault and abuse and harassment from 11 years ago. The details were revealed yesterday. It led to Stan Bowman, the GM at the time, 11 years ago, now the president of hockey operations, stepping down. His statement, we talked about it yesterday, that didn't satisfy me. It felt like he basically pointed the finger at John McDonough and said, I don't know what you want me to do about it. That's how I read it. But this is still a story that's unraveling in terms of what happened 11 years ago, who knew about it, how it was handled, how it should have been handled, and the league is still dealing with it moving forward. And Rick Westhead of TSN has been covering this story extensively for months, and he had an exclusive interview that just aired on SportsCenter with John Doe, the alleged victim in this case, and he revealed his identity. It has gone public. It will be out there online, tsn.ca. Of course, you can see it on SportsCenter, and Rick Westhead joins us now. Can you take us through this part of the process, Rick, in terms of you and John Doe, your relationship over the last few months, how you came in contact with him and how it got to a point where he decided he wanted to reveal his identity and talk about his own story publicly about 10 minutes ago on SportsCenter?
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this, guys. So John Doe is Kyle Beach, a player who was drafted in 2008 by the Blackhawks in the first round, 11th overall. And kind of bounced around in the minor leagues and is now playing over in Europe. And I first had a connection with Kyle months ago covering this story when I asked to do an interview with him by email through his lawyer. So his lawyer took my questions and got answers for them, and we wrote about that at the time. I never actually had a conversation with him until yesterday. So, you know, when we knew that the report was coming yesterday, I, you know, connected to make sure that he was going to have a link to be able to watch the report being made public by the law firm in Chicago that had done the investigation. And after those findings, which were shocking, I had no idea that they were, you know, I've done a lot of reporting on this, and the one thing that the Blackhawks got right yesterday, they came clean and they were transparent about everything here. And it was more than I was expecting. It was definitely more than Kyle was expecting. He talked to me about how he sobbed all the way through as he was watching that, because it gave him validation. You know, he had been told so many times, you're lying, this isn't true, over the last months. And finally to see people believing him was a big deal. And I asked at that point if he would consider coming on TV and identifying himself if the time was right. And he spoke to his mom and to his lawyer. And last night, his lawyer reached out to him and said, are you really sure you want to do this? Are you having any second thoughts? And the response that he wrote by text message was, I'm Kyle Beach. I'm an abuse survivor. I'm going to make a difference. And so away we went forward with the interview today.
Rick, through all of this, there's so many different elements, talking to so many different people. What's the most disappointing thing, whether it be from the Blackhawks, any one individual person, what disappoints you the most, like being a parent yourself and just going through this?
Yeah, that's a tough. There's so many disappointments here, you know, where people had the opportunity to do the right thing. We're focusing on, you know, Kyle and on this guy who was on the verge of hopefully playing in the NHL. But by allowing Brad Aldrich to resign on his own terms with severance money and a day with the Stanley Cup and go on to work with USA Hockey and from there go on to work with the university in Ohio and then go on to work with a high school where he sexually assaulted a 16-year-old boy, and, you know, police actually investigated him for encounters with a half dozen other teenagers. If one person had just put up their hand and said, we've got to act on this now. We've got to tell the police about this. And even if it wasn't the day before the Stanley Cup Finals, like, what if they had said, you know, this is a distraction. We're going to have Aldrich separated from the team. He's a video coach. I'm sure they could find someone to fill that role. And, you know, keep him away from the team. And the day after the Stanley Cup finished, reported to the police. I just can't understand how the decisions were made then. And I know sometimes it can be tough, guys, to kind of look through today's prism and how things were handled in the years past. This was not 1970. It's 2010. And, you know, I think they needed to do better.
Rick, you know, obviously you see the report yesterday and there's a lot to unpack. You know, in your opinion, how many layers is there to this? Because, you know, we're seeing some of the fallout, obviously, immediately. But, you know, are we talking months before this is all sorted out? You know, kind of, do you have a timeline in your mind of how you think this might unfold? Or is it just kind of, you know, kind of wait to see how, you know, the league handles it? And then is there, you know, civil litigation, all of that type of stuff?
Well, we're in the midst of the litigation right now. You know,
right.
both the Blackhawks have said they'd like to talk settlement.
Yeah.
What's the number? What number is it going to take? You know, this Kyle, for instance, says that, you know, he was just on the verge of making the NHL. What if he'd gone on to be a star? And what if he was still playing at 31 years old right now in the NHL as a star? How much money would he be making? How much money would he have made through his career? $60 million, $70 million, $80 million nowadays? So how do you put a number on that, and what's a fair settlement? And, you know, for the boy who was abused by Aldrich, what's a fair price there? That family's been torn apart. You know, that teenage player is now 24 and is struggling. I talked to his family as well. So, you know, I don't know how they figure these things out, but they're going to have to, you know, come to some number, I guess. And in terms of what happens next on the NHL front, I've got no idea. How is it that, you know, Joel Quenneville's coaching tonight? I don't understand that logic or the decision making. And when the NHL, you know, what are they going to do? Well, their track record isn't great on this. You know, they've talked about setting up a whistleblower hotline for abuse 2 years ago. I've heard nothing about it in 2 years. They promised Hakeem Alyu, you know, a prompt investigation into the claims that when he was playing with the same Blackhawks organization, his career was railroaded because of racism, and he's still waiting on the results of that investigation the NHL promised nearly 2 years ago as well. So, you know, leagues say the right thing. Deeds matter more. Are they doing things from an action perspective to back that up? And I just haven't seen it from the NHL.
Chatting with Rick Westhead, he had an exclusive interview that is now up on TSN.ca. It was airing on SportsCenter. It will remain on SportsCenter and continue to be played throughout the evening and the upcoming days with Kyle Beach, who as of yesterday was known as John Doe, the alleged victim in this story out of Chicago from 11 years ago. And Kyle has decided to reveal his identity and speak out on his story and talk to Rick and TSN about all of the details. Again, I urge people to find it on TSN.ca. Obviously, this became a story when he revealed it to the coaching staff of the organization and how they were supposed to handle it. Obviously, that is what we were talking about yesterday and what came out of the investigation. Can you enlighten me? I may have missed this reporting, but did he take it outside of the organization? Like, did Kyle ever take it outside, tell anyone outside of the organization? How was that handled 11 years ago?
He was told that it was going to be handled. This is the message that he was left with. And so when Aldrich disappeared in the summer of 2010, he, like many abuse survivors, tried to block this out of his mind. He didn't want to deal. How do you deal with something like this happening to you? How do you process that? Mm-hmm. So he did not go to the police. And it's interesting. Two of the things that I have heard time and again over the last months is, first, how could Brad Aldrich possibly have assaulted, you know, a pro hockey player, a guy in his prime, physically, you know, fit in a way that very few are? Look at Brad Aldrich. He's 5'4", 5'5". Give me a break. How short our memories are. It wasn't that long ago that Sheldon Kennedy came forward and was also met with skepticism and people saying they did not believe him. And he was sexually abused by Graham James. And if you've seen Graham James, he doesn't look like a professional athlete. This is about a power imbalance, and people, even in 2021, need to educate themselves about how this works and how predators prey on their victims. And, you know, that has just kind of left a real impression with me that that people have been so skeptical of him to this point because of that.
Well, and obviously the league is still going to investigate in terms of Joel Quenneville, his role in this, Kevin Cheveldayoff, how, you know, he was involved and maybe what could have come of that. And those interviews are coming with the commissioner in the coming days. So this story obviously is not over, and it's a shame it happened at all. And I'm not sure where it goes from here for Kyle Beach, but we'll see. Obviously, your interview can be found up on TSN.ca, and we appreciate you coming on here and breaking down all the details for us. Rick, we'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Hey, I appreciate you guys, and I also want to say I appreciate working at a network like TSN that actually has a culture that allows me to go out and pursue journalism like this. So for any of our bosses who are listening, thanks for that.
All right, Rick. We'll do it again soon. Thank you. There's Rick Westhead of TSN. Again, Kyle Beach speaking exclusively to Rick earlier this hour on SportsCenter. You can find it on TSN.ca. Kyle Beach, as of yesterday, was known as John Doe in this investigation. Leo Routens will join us. The Raptors are back in action tonight. We'll get back into that. We'll get back into the Leafs in Chicago, taking on the Blackhawks tonight. Start looking ahead to Week 8 in the NFL as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Leo Routens will join us here in just a moment. Our TSN Raptors analyst. Raptors back in action down at Scotiabank tonight. Indiana Pacers in town. So we'll catch up with Leo just a moment. We were talking about LeBron earlier. He is out again tonight. And, man, that Lakers team, they are old, but they're interesting. They're fun. Russell Westbrook, when he plays every game, man. Russ, you can say what you want about him, man. He shows up and he plays. And his numbers are starting to improve because if LeBron's not there, Anthony Davis maybe not playing tonight. Russ against his old team, he loves it.
I don't know if that team, like, if they become anything, man.
You don't think so?
I think old Father Time, I've just said, don't even think about this super team, fellas.
Yeah, they had a bad start. They had a bad start.
Health alone, and they're fighting on the – like. I think AD was at, like, he was getting into it with somebody.
It was Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard, yeah. That's like they were fighting on the sidelines. It's like, I don't know. I'm just pessimistic about that. I'm always like, LeBron can do anything. God knows what he's going to accomplish. But I think Father Time might have caught up to that ship.
Yeah, I think they'll make the playoffs. But let's not forget, they barely got in last year. Remember, they faded badly in the end. Remember, they had to play Golden State in the wild card game.
And what was LeBron's injury last year? It was like ankle or like Achilles or something.
Yeah, and he's dealing with an ankle now.
Dude, those things never go away, man. You've seen it with Soroka. Like, it's just that stuff never goes away, especially that sport, man. Well, that's Leo, but.
Well, here he is, our TSN NBA analyst, Leo Routens. Before we get to the Raptors and the Pacers game tonight, where's your head at, Leo, with the Lakers? Everyone's pointing out the age and how old they are, but. Got some big names. They're intriguing. You know that's going to be the case. But do you think they've got enough, based on their age, to keep it together and be a playoff team and maybe make some noise out West?
Well, the whole thing is you got to coach this team the right way, right? There actually is a lot of depth with the veterans that are older. You got to really put in the young guys, give them some experience, let them try to be almost glue guys with athleticism. But you got to find a way to keep everybody healthy and just kind of put it together as the season goes along. Here's the reality of it. You're in a Western Conference, right? So if you fool around too much, you get behind, it's really going to cost you. It's going to hurt you. At the same time, if you can find some kind of chemistry, you know, distribute the minutes, keep everybody fresh, I don't think with that kind of a team, with all the guys and all their experience, you're going to be worried about whether you have home court or not. You know that with LeBron and a cast of veterans, you can win. The key is, will you be there at the end and will you be healthy?
In terms of where the Raptors are at, health is obviously playing a factor early into the season because Pascal Siakam is not available, and he's their best player. He's a guy that changes the complexion of the team, the options for Nick Nurse, the head coach. He's not back as of tonight, but it feels like he's right around the corner. How big of a boost do you expect Pascal to be, and how might it change the way this team is playing and the way they look?
Well, I think it's going to be huge. It's going to make an enormous difference. And it's not just him. If you think about it, you know, Kem Birch missed the entire training camp with COVID. Chris Boucher was out with a broken finger. And it just takes time to put everybody together when you got a lot of new faces. Even a Fred VanVleet, who's, you know, is struggling in some ways, playing real good in other ways, he's trying to figure it all out and be the glue guy. So when you bring Pascal Siakam back, all of a sudden it gives you a potential big-time scorer, a guy that can help you at literally every facet of the game, and it changes the dynamics of this team. So, I'm really not worried about what's happening right now. You just don't want to dig yourself a hole. You got to find a way to scratch out a win here or there. But once you get Pascal back, that's when it's going to come time to really put everything together. And this team's going to be interesting to watch. I think it's a fun team. I think that you can do a lot of different things. And the team could potentially surprise a lot of people. But it also walks a fine line because you're asking for a lot of things to happen. You know, Pascal to be healthy and Pascal to play at a level that, you know, everybody's been expecting it to be at. You're asking OG to step up and play at a level that we've shown us he can do. Fred to be that all-star in the point guard position and all the young guys to have speed up their learning curve. So there's a lot of ifs, and you know that can go south if it doesn't happen. So it's going to be an intriguing season, that's for sure.
Leo, we were talking about Fred the other day, and it seems like he has a bunch of balls in the air. Like you just mentioned, he's trying to be this all-star guard, be the voice of the team, be the glue guy. It almost seems like he's just got a foot, and it's difficult to do, and you don't want to tell him not to do that because he's an important piece moving forward, but it's almost like he's just got to focus on basketball. It's like he's trying to worry about the young guys and too many balls in the air. He's just got to focus on the game.
Well, you know, he's the guy that's always does remain focused. And I think that, I'm not really worried about that. People forget that I don't care who you are, there's a learning curve, right? Even LeBron James right now, you talked about the Lakers. There's a learning curve for him that with all those guys, how is he going to make it all work and how's this all going to fit? And, you know, Fred's in a situation here where, you know, he is the lead guy. He is the lead voice. And at the same time, as you're saying, he's got to find his game and where he fits. But you have to do it the right way. And Fred's a guy that always plays the game the right way. So, you know, he's got to go through this as much as anybody else for it to work. So there's going to be some ups and downs, and there's going to be some struggles along the way. And, you know, Fred's pretty much said that. He knows that. But if anybody's locked into getting it done and not getting sidetracked, it is Fred VanVleet, because he's already shown that he can play at an all-star level. When Kyle Lowry was here and he was not on the floor, Fred stepped up and made a lot of big impact on the floor. So it's just that the environment's very different right now. It's going to take a little bit of time to figure it out.
Well, with Kyle not here, it's not as if they don't have veteran options, and Nick Nurse has made that abundantly clear. You know VanVleet's going to play and Goran Dragic is going to play. And then you've got Delano Banton, who is getting some run here for a rookie second-round pick. You don't see that a lot. And Nick Nurse has been high on him. He's not playing a ton of minutes, but the minutes he's playing, Nick Nurse has been pumping his tires. And Malachi Flynn is on the outside looking in. And I guess Nick said earlier this afternoon there's a chance Delano and Malachi Flynn could end up with the 905, and maybe they get down there just to get some minutes in. But what do you make of the guard position, and how does Malachi Flynn find a way on the court? Like, at what point might he get an opportunity here?
Well, it may be hard, and you know it's a long season, and injuries could dictate what happens. And the great thing is now you're finally back to the situation where you do have the 905 right down the street. And remember, a few years back, how valuable that was for Fred, for Pascal, for Norm, and all the guys to be able to go back and forth and be ready to play. But, you know, when you're talking about Delano Banton, I'm high on this kid. I'll tell you what, Nick Nurse said, hey, blame the coach for not putting him in and playing him more. And I've been saying literally since in exit preseason that I think he should get some minutes. You know, the Raptors have had small guards, and they played with small guards. Now here's a guy that's 6'8", and he also does something that you really want to happen out there. Every time he gets the ball in his hands, remember, here's a guy that can rebound for you. When he gets it, he pushes. He gets that ball up the floor quickly. And I'm old school. I mean, that's what you did, right? You got the ball, you pushed it up the floor. Today, that's not an easy thing to do. It's almost like you're begging guys to push the ball up the floor. Delano does it naturally. This is part of his game. It's who he is. And he's done really well in limited minutes and opportunities. So here's a guy that I would invest some playing time in. I would want to find out, you know, how quickly, you know, can you make him into the player you want, a guy that can impact and maybe get into the rotation, because having a guard at his size with the style of game you want to play, I think is invaluable.
Scotty Barnes is getting a ton of minutes. You know, we discussed this earlier in the show. When Siakam comes back, that may affect his role a little bit. It may affect the amount of minutes he's getting. But he comes in as advertised, turning the ball off over a fair amount, but that's natural with young players, and really it's an issue that's plaguing this team in general. They had a ton of turnovers against the Bulls on Monday night. You guys were talking about that a lot on TSN. But what do you make of Scotty through four games? What have you liked about his game, and what do you think he needs to focus on?
Well, I think you're going to find minutes with Scotty Barnes no matter who's in. Even when Pascal comes back, I think Scotty Barnes is going to be on the floor. The nice thing about him, you don't need to pigeonhole him in one position. He can play all over the floor because he can guard literally all five positions. Offensively, you know, he can bring up the ball, you know, he can bring the ball to the floor. He sees the floor. He can play without the ball. So he does a nice job of posting up. He helps you on both boards. So here's a guy that you're going to find minutes for. There's no question about that. And he compliments everybody. This kid thinks the game. He's ahead of a lot of rookies. As a matter of fact, he's ahead of a lot of guys that have been in this league a long time as far as thinking the game. So it's impressive to me, and I think that he's going to continue to have an impact. And, yeah, you're going to have turnovers. As a matter of fact, this whole team is going to have more turnovers than you might like because of the style of game they're trying to play. You know, one of the things as a coach, when you tell guys, okay, we want to run more, we want to push more, you got to let go of some of the turnovers. You're going to have to. It becomes a more of a high turnover game. And hopefully the better you get, the more of a grasp you have on, you know, good plays, bad plays, and just being valuing possessions. But, you know, so I'm not really worried about turnovers early on here. It's to be expected, especially for a rookie coming in. He's going to make some mistakes and realize what he can and can't do.
With Leo Routens ahead of the Raptors game tonight, Raptors at home taking on the Pacers. All throughout the offseason, all throughout camp, there was focus on OG Anunoby and the hope and belief that he would take a step forward offensively because they're going to need it. Without Kyle here, you know, offense is potentially going to be an issue, and it's shown up at times early in the season. What have you seen out of OG early into the year that makes you believe he's either reaching a new level offensively or is on the verge of reaching a new level offensively?
I'd say he's on the verge. You know, here's a guy that is showing he can knock down the three. He can take you down low in the post. He gets out transition. He moves it out the basketball. And his mid-range game is solid. So offensively, he does a lot. He's also seeing the floor, too. So when he sees the double team coming, he's not afraid to get rid of the ball, and he's been making pretty good decisions with that. You know, here's the challenge for OG. Offensively, he's been waiting, and everybody's been waiting for him to kind of assume this role. Well, now you're out there, and you have to make sure that, you know, when the team hits walls, the team hits dry spots, this is when you step up, right? You can't wait. You got to be the aggressor. You got to make sure your team stays in position and not gets down. If you're an offensive threat, that's one of the responsibilities you have. The other thing is whether, you know, he's got a tough job. He's going to be guarding the other team's best player most of the time. And Nick Nurse has said himself that the reason he's doing it is because he can. But that's a lot of pressure, and it's a lot of work. And what he has to do is realize that his value is staying on the floor. And we've seen in a couple of games now some early fouls. And this is the hard part. When you're a guy that's counted on to defend, you really have to be smart about your fouls. You got to know when to step back, when to not commit, you know, when not to gamble and reach. Because the reality is you have to stay on the floor, and this team needs you on the floor. So I think that's the big thing for OG right now is to kind of realize that and have the maturity to know when to pull back a little bit. You're still playing hard. You're just not gambling and taking chances.
Enjoy it tonight, Leo. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, buddy.
Sounds great, guys. Always a pleasure.
There he is. Leo Routens, our TSN NBA and Raptors analyst, ahead of the game tonight. Raptors take it on the Pacers down at Scotiabank. And we have a pair of tickets to give away. Overdrive giving away a pair of tickets to see the Leafs take on the Tampa Bay Lightning on Thursday, November 4th. So every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. So we've already handed out a couple of clues. Today's clue, the third clue of the week, is former Maple Leaf won the Conn Smythe Trophy.
Ooh.
As part of his only Stanley Cup title. Interesting. Okay.
What?
Conn Smythe. I mean, that narrows it down pretty quickly. There's only been so many of those. They only hand out one of those a year. I like it. Former Maple Leaf won the Conn Smythe. I know exactly who it is now.
I know it is, too.
Larry Murphy?
No, I don't think Larry ever won a Conn Smythe.
and got 100 points. Wasn't there 100 points in there?
I don't know. Larry might have hit a hunch. Larry had some offensive ability. Like, he's in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if he ever hit a hunch, but he might have.
Not in Toronto.
No, not in Toronto. But right. I didn't think that was the clue. Now you got me all confused.
Yeah.
Let me look up if Larry Murphy's ever had 100 points.
Who is it? Just say the guy's name. Who is it?
No, we can't say it.
That's not the way we roll here. You gotta put. Exactly. I think I know who it is. I'm not certain, but I'm pretty sure I know who it is.
Put it in the text chain.
Actually, you know what? I don't know who it is because the guy I was thinking of has won more than one cup. I thought it was Joe Neuwendijk, but it's not because Neuwendijk won in Dallas and Calgary.
Yes.
So I'm wrong.
And Jersey.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. He's got a couple of cups. So there you go. Larry Murphy, Lawrence Murphy, never hit 100 points.
No.
Larry hit 85 with Pitt 92-93. Who didn't have 85 points in 92-93 with that Pittsburgh team? But he's in the Hall of Fame. Larry Murphy, what a career.
Awesome.
How did that not work here in Toronto? I mean, that just is mind-boggling that Larry Murphy
couldn't work here in Toronto.
Go win a couple cups in Detroit, but couldn't work here.
Didn't he get run out of town, though? Like, wasn't it like
the definition of it, Noodles.
Yeah. Then he won the cup, and he said, this is for all the fans in Toronto.
Yep.
Is that a soundbite somewhere?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. But
yeah,
he was talking to
Ron McLean. He's like, this is for all the fans in Toronto.
Yeah. He was on the back-to-back teams in Detroit in the late 90s.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he won back-to-back cups.
Just feathering over saucer passes to Lidstrom for 60 minutes.
Well, go in 97-98. He finished sixth in the Norris, and in 98-99, he was 11th. So couldn't work in Toronto, boot out of town, and then was effectively a top 12 defenseman in the league back-to-back years, cup-winning years in Detroit.
Impressive.
I'd say that worked out pretty well for Larry.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's not Larry Murphy. We're wasting time. We're trying to answer our own question. It's not Larry Murphy.
I might be wrong, but I thought it was a friend of the show.
I thought so, too. But did he win the Conn Smythe in 89?
I thought so, but maybe, you know.
I don't know if he did or not.
Did he?
It might be. I don't remember. We'd have to look that up.
Let me double check on that. I thought it was our friend.
It might be. Anyway, moving on here. We'll come back and tee up the Leaf game, the Raptor game tonight.
Yeah.
So looking ahead to Week 8 in the NFL. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Game 2 of the World Series tonight. I threw the offer out earlier. If you want to switch picks, I'd be open to that idea. If you want to jump on the Atlanta Braves, they're up 1-0.
No.
It's your call, whatever you think.
No, I'm sticking with my picks. I'm sticking this week with Al's brother.
Oh.
And next week I got a guy on Twitter. If we just are brutal again, I'm making the move. I'll give the guy on Twitter a chance.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you right now, if you put Al's brother on waivers, I'm claiming him. I'm putting in a claim. I can't guarantee you. I got to explain something to you.
If I gas him, he's not still coming into the segment.
Absolutely he is.
He's a furniture piece
on the show. He's a part of the fabric. We need
him. Dude, I'll go above your head, and I'll go to J-Mac and say, this guy is not in the segment.
Do you think J-Mac doesn't want Al's brother as a part of this show? He loves Al's brother coming on here making picks.
Here's the other thing, too.
Even if he's picking for me.
He's a free agent. You don't agree with any.
This guy, it's like a general manager wanting to trade for the worst player in the league.
I see talent. I'm going to take him under my wing. That's what it is. Noodles, you've been in management before. You know, sometimes you look at other players, and sometimes that team doesn't give them an opportunity or doesn't see the talent or doesn't see the light. And maybe you do. Maybe your scouting staff does. My scouting staff is high on Al's brother. The potential is there. Just there's no work ethic right now.
Here's the thing, too. Some guys flourish after being picked up on waivers.
I think
Marty St. Louis was waived.
That's exactly what I see happening here. Marty St. Louis, Anton Strowman. That's Al's brother. He is Marty St. Louis.
Like there's some really good waiver wire acquisitions.
So, Anton Strowman, do you know who gave up on that guy?
Yeah, I'm very familiar with that.
Was it the Leafs? The Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, yeah, John Ferguson Jr.
But Strowman didn't arrive till later in his career because I think we had him in Calgary and he was miscast too. Like, you know, sometimes you're right. Sometimes players aren't a fit for what they're being asked to do.
I think he got it together with the Rangers.
Yes, then really good player. Smart, and then went to Tampa.
And then he went down to Tampa.
Yeah.
And Florida rest Panthers. Rest is history, yeah.
Now, do you know where he's playing this year?
Is he in Arizona? Where is he?
Yeah, he is. He's in Arizona.
That's not a good spot to be.
Well, he's had some real warm weather destinations, I'll tell you that. Went from Tampa to Florida, Arizona. So he's enjoying life. And you see our buddy Phil scored his first goal the other night.
Phil's ready to rock.
Beautiful dangle.
Phil's ready
Beautiful
to rock.
Beautiful dangle.
Thanks,
honest to God.
There
he is. You know what? If we can do this, if we can do this for tomorrow, Nasher, I watched the game. Nasher has the call. It is the funniest thing. I don't know if we can pull another, station or whatever.
Yeah, we can do it because they're down in the States. We can do that.
Yeah, it's like Fox or whatever. It is one of the funniest. Like, he calls him Phil the Thrill. And then he has a nickname for the guy who passed it to him. I was dying laughing. Like, it's like, Phil the Thrill tucks it in. So it was pretty. We got to come up with that call. Maybe tomorrow.
All right, we'll find it.
Because Nasher,
we love Nasher. He's a friend of the show. We haven't had him on in a while. I remember seeing Nasher a couple of years ago up in the press box. Actually, I think I'd sent you a text, Noodles. I'm like, I just had to stop and chat with Nasher. He's up here. He looks so tanned.
Oh, yeah, he's George Hamilton.
Marvelous shape.
He's literally alligator. He's a saddlebag with eyes. That's how thick his skin is right now. It's just living it up in Arizona.
Mr. Arizona.
Yeah. Oh,
right
it is
down
classic.
Right in the mix. I love it.
I was texting with him today, actually, so classic guy.
All right, we'll
so
get
fun.
The call. We got to get that call. Because, listen, Phil, I think he'll hit 20. He's playing 82 games.
Yeah.
He's playing 82. I think he'll hit 20. I think he's got a resurgence. I think he'll get dealt at the trade deadline, too. Someone's taking Phil on.
Yeah, he might. That's
Who it's going to be, I don't know. Can you imagine he came back to Toronto? Imagine they ate half the contract and Phil
came back.
Well,
someone's got to ask the question, does this guy have a burning desire to lift the cup again?
He's got 1 year left on his deal. If he wants to retire after it, right? Like, it's about a spark. It's a legitimate question.
This year and next year?
No, this is it. This is the end of the road.
He's a UFA. He's a UFA
at the end of this year. And the Leafs have been chewing on $1.2 million worth of his deal, so that actually comes off the books next year.
Okay.
That's pretty big, $1.2 million. Like, the Leafs can do something with that.
But let's get crazy. Could Phil Kessel, as this team, I mean, the right side's a little bit different. Where would Phil Kessel fit in your lineup today, right now with the Leafs? Third line?
I guess he's on the third line. I mean, I think you're talking injuries, right? Like, if Marner or Nylander got injured and you're like,
guys,
we
got a big game tonight. We can't be talking about Phil coming back into the
I'm talking, could Bizarro Phil Kessel world. Play on the left wing in the top six?
Dude, he's
I don't
a freak of nature.
I think he could.
He can play wherever he wants.
I think he could. He is a freak of nature.
He is.
I'm telling you right now.
He is. He's a unicorn.
Yep, he is, man. He's one of a kind. One of one. That's Phil Kessel.
Yes, one of one. But, I mean, there's a guy who is going to be available at the market or at the deadline, and he's not going to cost you a lot.
No, he won't.
Maybe he can get you
Bring him
goal.
Back. Let's start the campaign.
That's what I'm saying.
Get Phil back in Toronto.
Bring back
Why not?
Phil.
He had a great tenure here.
Thanks.
Why can't
we?
You're welcome,
and
Phil.
Solid. Like, everything about him, he's a folk hero.
Absolutely.
Like, literally.
He is. Absolutely.
He's a beauty.
I'm being genuine. I want to see it happen. I want to see Phil back in Toronto. I want to see it happen, and I hope it comes to fruition.
It'd be awesome.
Anyway, Leafs in Chicago tonight. You can hear the game right here on TSN Radio, and it's a great building. If it's a packed house, the anthem singer, I don't know what the mood is going to be like in the building, but the Leafs, it's a road trip. It's a business trip for the Leafs. They got to find a way to get 2 points. Got to start well. Got to get the special teams going. Got to play with some determination. And don't be thinking points and cookies. Be thinking wins. Be thinking 2 points. Find a way to make it happen.
Yeah.
So the Leafs are in action tonight. And the Raptors are also in action down at Scotiabank. And it's a big one for the Raptors. They've lost a couple in a row. Indiana's not a great team. You got the chance to pick up a win yourself and get back into the win column. So we'll see what comes out of it in Game 2 of the World Series. So it's going to be a great night for couching. Leafs-Raptors World Series doesn't get any better than that. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games. We're back tomorrow at...
Spend the $1,000 on lessons and play left-handed. 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.